Welcome to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, emanating from New Home Family Worship Center of New Orleans and Houston. Now, be prepared to be blessed as we hear a special word from Pastor Blakes.
See, I woke up one day and I realized, listen to me now. I woke up one day and I realized I don't know how to quit. It kills me. And, you know, sometimes things just kill me. They beat me up. But I don't know how to quit. I keep on coming back. I keep on trying to do it another way. Something in me says, no, you can attack it. You can get it. You can do it. And I just keep on. Sometimes I fail over and 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 over. And other people left it alone, and I'm still at trying something new, praying about it, talking, reading about it, trying something new. I realize I don't know how to quit. But you know what I also realized? I was trained not to quit. I never saw quitting modeled before me. All I've ever seen was somebody who took whatever challenge was given him, and he kept his hand on it until God broke that thing down and he saw a breakthrough. But most folk are not trained to finish. Most folk are trained to quit. Many of you sitting in here today have never had any real sense of accountability. You've just been able to start and stop stuff, and nobody held you accountable at all. So your muscle of endurance, that inner fortitude, is not there because you've not been trained. Look what the Bible says. In Hebrews 12 and 11, at the time, discipline isn't much. This is the Message Bible version. You probably have King James. Hebrews 12 and 11. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. What he's talking about here is discipline, the process of accountability, the oversight of authority, the submission to teachers who take and don't pacify you and feed you milk, but give you meat and grow you up and teach you how to stand on your faith and to be stable. How many of y'all sitting up in here today can testify that you would have been out of your mind a long time ago had you not had a spiritual father that raised you up and didn't play around with you, held you accountable, and made you stick to this thing? This walk is not going to be easy, man. God never promised you no way in the scripture that it was going to be easy. It ain't easy, but it's possible. Give me some.
Hallelujah. Teach, man.
So we want to quit when we are not trained to endure. But watch this. I learned this this week from this man. Training is painting.
Yeah.
Training hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
I promise you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Training is painting. That's why most folk don't want to teach in ministry. Because when you come face to face with that word, and somebody's really putting it there, man, where it's touching your issues and it's really dealing with you, that junk hurts. You hear what I'm saying? But if you endure that process, it'll yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness in you. Look what he says in 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11. The suffering won't last forever. This is, again, the Message version. He says the suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Come on, hunch him again, tell him, don't quit, just stay in the process. So now let's move to the last leg of this lesson. Let's move to the last leg of this lesson. Training for follow through. Training not to quit. You know, I used to say many years ago, oh, golf is not a sport. That's not a sport. Golf ain't no sport. That's just a hobby.
Yes, sir.
But And some of y'all think that too. You know why you think that? Because you've never really picked up a club and you've never really gone out there. But the reality is that if you pick up a club and you go out to a golf course, you don't have to go to a course, you just go to a range. And you take that thing and you go to just, now if you're doing it right, if you're going back and you're falling through, you do that about 7 times. All of this up in here. I said all of it. I say. All of this up in here is going to feel like it's locking up on you. Those guys have to be trained for follow through. That's not an easy process. He's hurting right now while I do it. They're trained. See, touch that neighbor, tell them you got to train for follow through. See, everybody can start. It's cute to go buy the gloves, the hat, the shoes, the clubs. You know, I couldn't even hit a ball, couldn't even get a ball off the ground. I had a big Bertha club, somebody bought it for me. It's a $1,200 club. I'm out there with a big Bertha and hitting the ball just rolling. I can't even get the ball in the air. I'm out there with a $1,200. Why that man bought me that club? I went and gave it, I was so embarrassed, I went and gave that club to a real golfer. Look what 1 Corinthians 9:25 says. All good athletes train hard. This is the Message Bible version. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. If athletes train and go through for stuff that fades and tarnishes, and you're behind something that's going to be eternal, how much more should you be incentivized? Is that a word? Did I make up a word just now? That's a good word now. We're going to use it. Yeah. We're going to use it then. Praise the Lord. Incentivized. Praise the Lord. I made it up? Praise the Lord. Somebody told me ain't is in the dictionary now. They say ain't is in the dictionary, so maybe they're going to put incentivized in there a little later for me. Number one, training. I got to move them. I'm off my time. Training requires a trainer. Everybody say training requires a trainer.
You
ain't got to go to church to be saved. That's true. You can be saved in the ballroom. You can be saved in the crack house. You can be saved in the hospital. You can be saved in the hotel room. But if you're going to grow and mature and develop any measure of spiritual discipline, you're going to have a pastor. A trainer is one who has knowledge, experience, and results in a certain discipline. A trainer is one who has knowledge, experience, and results in a certain discipline. See, I've had people tell me, I can train you, but their belly was bigger than mine. I don't care what kind of knowledge you got, you ain't got no results. So apparently it's not the proper application of knowledge because it ain't working for you.
Go ahead, doctor.
I need a trainer that got some knowledge and some results. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to get a six pack. Hey, you got a keg in front of you. Your keg over mine, I'm on the floor, you telling me what to do. You eating a hamburger while you telling me what to do. Man, get on out of here, doc. I can do trial and error by myself. I don't need nobody else to be telling me the wrong stuff. A trainer is one who has knowledge, experience, and results. Now, the purpose of pastors, fivefold ministry even, is to train you to endure your particular course. See, that's my thing this morning. I'm building you up so that when you hit this thing this week, don't make no difference what the devil throw at you. Ephesians 4:12 tells us that the fivefold ministry is given for the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints. So I'm not here to entertain you. I mean, you don't need to come here on a Sunday morning to be entertained. I went to see the Will Downing concert the other night. and Gerald Albright. Boy, that was some entertainment right there. They can entertain you far better than any preacher can. It was really entertaining because they had a fight broke out. On my rope. I don't know why I didn't think to take my phone out. I should have videotaped that. You could have went there Friday night to get that. You had to wait until Sunday morning to get no entertainment. When you come up in there on Sunday morning and you wake up this early to come to church, you coming in here to be what? Perfected. To be built up. To be matured. Not for somebody to stick their finger in their ear hollering about he all right. All right. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6:12. Look what Hebrews 6:12 says. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12 in the Message Bible version reads like this. Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. You got to follow somebody who's already acquired what you're reaching for. So everybody say, number one, training requires a trainer. Number two, training requires submission. You can have a trainer, but if you don't submit to the trainer, still not going to work for you. Many lack the capacity to endure because they've not truly submitted to any forerunner. Much of what sustains me now is the example I follow from my father, my spiritual father. I never saw quitting modeled. So I didn't learn how to quit. Many do not have the capacity to endure because they've not really submitted. Hebrews 13:6-7. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And that word conversation simply means lifestyle. You got to look at your trainer's lifestyle and see if they're getting or if they've gotten what you're reaching for. If I got something on my life you don't want to submit to me. But if I got something on my life that you desire to have, the only way you can get it is if you submit to my instruction. See, a lot of times you want what people have in their hand without getting what's in their head or their heart. A true pastor is trying to give you what's in his head, what's in his heart, and then you can get what's on his life. I can give it to you, but I can't make you submit. You're grown. I can't make nobody submit. I got my baby girl right there. She's 17 years old, so she's in her senior year. She's going to be going off to college. See? At 17 years old, I can't make her do nothing. See, we can have a police situation, but I can't make her do nothing. Hebrews 12:6-8, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. See, if you come up in this church and you're never rebuked, either directly or indirectly, something wrong. Every message should make you shout. There ought to be some stuff, if I'm really doing my job, there ought to be some stuff I say up in here that gets on your last nerve. I'm not doing my job if you don't come up in here and on some Sundays, you're like, man, this dude really getting on my nerves. This dude couldn't find nothing else to talk about. You done just blew all your money down at the casino, and the first thing I'm talking about is gambling and wasting your money. That's training, but see, you got to submit to it. You got to submit to it. I can't make you submit.
No, no.
God never told me to make anybody submit. He never told me to control you. He never told me to make you submit. He told me just put it out there. And then watch this, number three. Training requires practice. Got to have a trainer. You got to submit to that trainer. And then when the trainer's not in sight, you got to practice. You can't just show up here on Sunday morning and think you're going to get the full impact of what God is trying to pour into your life. You got to take this stuff and you got to practice this stuff Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday come back and we meet again and I see what kind of progress you've made. See, if you don't go through this process, you can always be starting and stopping, because you're unstable. You're spiritually weak. Finally, watch this, James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Look what he says happens when you're hearers of the word and not doers. Deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Practice the word when you can't see what God is doing. Trust him when it doesn't feel good. Because the just shall live by faith. So you can't just come in here on Sunday morning and wait for me to light your fire and give you encouragement. You got to practice this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. When the devil's coming at you in the middle of the week, you got to practice what I'm teaching you. Now, let me read this. Boy, I'm way over my time. Watch this. Somebody said, keep on going. Don't get me in trouble with these other people now. Praise the Lord. Watch this. You may recognize the name of Florence Chadwick. In 1952, Florence was the first woman to attempt to swim the 26 miles between Catalina Island and the California coastline. As she began this historical journey, she was flanked by small boats that watched for sharks and were prepared to help her if she got hurt or grew tired. Hour after hour, Florence swam, but after about 15 hours, a thick, heavy fog set in. Florence began to doubt her ability, and she told her mother, who was in one of the boats, that she didn't think she could make it. She swam for one more hour before asking to be pulled out. As she sat in the boat, Florence found out she had stopped swimming just 1 mile away from the California shoreline, her destination. Florence explained that she quit because she could no longer see the coastline. There was too much fog. She couldn't see her goal. 2 months later, Florence got back in the water to try her task once more. This time was different. She swam from Catalina Island to the shore of California in a straight path for 26 miles. The same thick fog set in, but Florence made it because she said that while she swam, she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind. She didn't lose sight of the shore because she focused on that image of the coast in her mind. And in this way, she reached her goal. When the fog of life sets in, keep your goal locked in. What did our father say? Sometimes you got to close your eyes to see. Did you get anything out of this morning? Standing to your feet.
Thank you for listening to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, emanating from New Home Family Worship Center of New Orleans and Houston. You can write us or send a prayer request to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, P.O. Box 571083, Houston, Texas, 77257. Be sure to mention that you heard us on the podcast. You may also call us at 713-991-1302. If you live in the Houston or New Orleans areas, or if you're just visiting, we invite you to come join us at one of our powerful family-oriented services where we are building a future for you. Our Houston location is 4805 Schermeyer Street in Houston, Texas. In New Orleans, we're at 13800 Hayne Boulevard in East New Orleans, Louisiana. For service times, directions, or more information about our ministry, call 713-991-1302. In the New Orleans area, call 504-244-6968. Our email is rc@comehometonewhome.org. And be sure to visit our website at www.comehometonewhome.org. Remember, you're on top and you're going higher. God has more in store for you.